Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to WMRWLP, broadcasting out of Warren, Vermont, on your FM dial at 94.5 and streaming live at WMRW.org. The following program presents the views of its producers and participants. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, RootsWork. Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and I am here for Amy's Kids Show. And I am super, super excited to be here today for, I think it's episode number 168. And we have had so many amazing guests on Amy's Kids Show over the years. We've had all sorts of animals, imaginary creatures, puppets, birds, frogs. We even had daffodils a couple of weeks ago. And today we have a super special living human in the studio today. Oh, I am so excited to introduce you guys to Rob Broder. He's a stranger to me as of a couple days ago, but we are getting to know each other here. And this is what we do on Amy's Kids Show, right? We introduce people and creatures that maybe we didn't know so much about, but when we sit down together and we start communicating, guess what happens? Well, magic happens, right? We realize how much we all have in common. And my new friend Rob, I'm going to call him my friend already, my new friend Rob here, he's a special human too because he's an author. He writes children's books. And we know here on Amy's Kids Show how much we love children's books because that's how we get to meet so many of the amazing creatures and people and animals on our planet and elsewhere. We've even had the cosmic cats from outer space come a couple of times. So here on Amy's Kids Show, everyone is welcome. And we are especially lucky to have Rob Broder in the station today. He's going to read two of his books, and one of them I'm holding in my hands right now. This is the book that brought us together. It's called Reading Together, because reading books is such an amazing way to explore the whole world that we live in, and that's why kids especially love to read books, and that's why grown-ups especially love to write books for kids and read books with kids. And that's what this book, Reading Together by Rob Broder, is all about. It's about the amazing books that he and his family would read with his daughter while she was growing up. I just can't wait, guys, to share these stories and share Rob with you. And before we get started, though, I was asking Rob when we were getting ready for the show today, I said, what is some of your favorite kids' music? Like, what kind of music do you like? I want to pick out something special for you. And he said Jerry Garcia and David Grisman were some of his favorites. So this next song is a shout out to Rob, our guest today on Amy's Kids Show. This song is a shout out to strangers getting to know each other. All right, thanks for joining me. Here we go.
Hello, stranger.
Hello there, stranger.
Does this road go all the way to Little Rock?
I've been standing here all day, and it hasn't gone nowhere yet.
Hello, stranger.
Hello again, stranger.
Your corn looks awful little and yeller.
I planted the little yeller kind.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hi there, stranger.
I don't believe you're too far from a fool, are you?
Believe what?
I said, I don't believe you're very far from a fool.
No, that's right, son. Just this guitar and mandolin here between us.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hi, stranger.
How'd your potatoes turn out?
They didn't turn out at all. I had to dig them out.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hello, stranger.
Can't you see that your roof is leaking? Why don't you fix it?
Well, right now it's raining too hard, and when the sun's a-shining, why, it don't leak.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hello there, stranger.
Have you lived here all your life?
Not yet.
Hello, stranger.
Hello there, stranger.
You're not very smart, are you?
No, but I ain't lost.
All right, folks, hopefully you are getting excited to talk with a stranger who is going to become familiar in no time at all, because right now we have live in the studio with us an author, and his name is Rob. Rob, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. Nice to talk to you.
Oh, so nice to talk to you. Yes, I know we're going to have so much fun on Amy's Kids Show because you not only write books, but you love to write books for children.
Yes, picture books. That's where my mind goes, my imagination.
Yeah, picture books. So can you tell me about what got you started on this book in particular, Reading Together?
So Reading Together's manuscript started, or the story started, when I looked at my daughter's bookcase about 4 years ago, and we hadn't grabbed a picture book in a while. And it was because she was getting older. And I started missing the books. I started missing the stories and the characters and the excitement of my voice when I would read to her. How we read them so many times, like hundreds and hundreds of times, the same books. And then because she was getting older, we just kind of were moving on to another genre of books. So we weren't reading the picture books. And I personally was missing them. And I started remembering how she would stare at the pages and how she would nod her head. And I still have memories of her with her binky in her mouth, looking at the pages and just taking it all in as we would read to her at night. So I just started writing the book.
To write a book about reading books.
About reading books.
With
yes,
kids.
Pretty much, yes.
I love it. And the children's books, I could almost imagine that I know some of these books that you were referring to.
Probably, yeah.
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 Oh, fantastic. So Rob is a writer. He writes books. Oh, who did the pictures for you?
Melissa Larson illustrated this beautiful book.
Oh, and it's so beautiful. And thank you, Rob, for sending me this copy.
Oh, no problem.
It was so nice. It's so beautiful. And the pictures. And it really, the stories pop off the page.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm happy to read it if you would like.
Yeah. Are you ready out there, folks? We're going to have our first story for today. Rob's going to read his own book here, Reading Together. So find a nice little comfortable place to sit.
So this is Reading Together, written by me, Rob Broder, illustrated by Melissa Larson. When you were born and we carried you into our home, we read to you. Before you can sit up on your own and look at the thick, shiny pages, we read to you over and over. Blue ball, yellow duck, red mitten, A apple, K kite, Y yak. There were wagging tails, moving trains, and opening doors. There was twinkle twinkle, hey diddle diddle, and hickory dickory dock. And then you got bigger, and we laid in our bed, holding the book over us for you to see. You would stare at the pages while we read together. Mommy bunny loving her baby, a flower waiting for rain, two friends meeting for tea. We started collecting picture books. We'd shout and whisper. We'd roar and point. We'd nod and laugh. We'd read four books each night. Sometimes you'd ask for one more. The silly and sweet, the suspenseful and sad, the serious and sleepy. These books became a part of us, a part of our family. Dinosaurs and pirates, bears and monsters, lions and fairies. We've read these books over and over so many times, and we loved them so much that the pages needed mending with tape. When the books rhymed, you laughed when we got tongue-tied. It would be preposterous how a hippopotamus would gather a hypothesis about loving a rhinoceros. There were wordless books where we turned the pages in silence or share what we thought was happening, just reading together. And sometimes we would tell you a story using our imaginations, and sometimes you would help. We started reading about superheroes. We pointed to each panel, and you would help with the onomatopoeias. Bam! Whack! Zonk! Bath towels became capes. Couch cushions became hideouts. We'd wrestle, and you always won. But then you started reading to us. You carefully read each word, and if you needed help, you'd pause, and we'd help you with that word. And you kept on reading. Books became longer and thicker. We started learning that not all stories have happy endings. You would just listen, or we would just listen, asking for one more chapter before you fell asleep. And then one day, while looking at your bookcase, we noticed we hadn't read a picture book in a while. And we remembered the roars and whispers, the silly and sweet, the quiet moments and snuggles, the ripped pages and mending with tape. And how we've read them over and over and over together. Thanks for listening.
The end. Oh, yay. That's so lovely.
Thank you.
Wow. And I've been dying to ask one particular question.
Yeah.
So I see that this is your family. It's you and your wife and your daughter.
Yes.
Reading together. And
it's dedicated to them in the book.
Oh, nice.
So, but what were you going to ask me?
I see it on the very end where you just ended, and you're standing there with your wife and you're holding the stack of picture books that you missed reading because your daughter's reading her own books now. Did you and your wife sneak off to read them again?
I'm a picture book writer, so I do actually still read them and glance at them when I'm looking for an idea or a tone or a tempo in writing. We still have them out, by the way. They're still in our house. They're not in boxes. So yes, I still do read them, and I work at a library, so I'm always looking at picture books. But that last spread, that last picture was an actual photograph. I snuck a picture of my daughter reading in her room, and I sent it to the illustrator.
Oh.
So that very last spread right there is the doorway, and she added The illustrator added the imagination, obviously. There's not a whale in a room.
There's not a whale?
But I sent that picture to the illustrator, and I said, if this can be the last spread, this is what I'm visualizing.
Oh, wonderful. Because I could feel like that was a true moment. Like, yeah. I really feel like I'm there with you guys. And so, I'm like, wow, I would be sneaking off to read. I could just see you and your wife, like, hiding under the covers to read them again.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, you might need to, right? Because I love kids' books, too. And the ones you've read over and over, like with my grandchildren.
They become your favorites. They become, like I say in the story, part of your family. I mean, just like if we did something in the kitchen, it reminded us of something in the story. If we're out in a shopping in a store, something we can overhear something or an incident happened, and it reminded us of a story that we read.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and that you're reading them together so you guys can keep, you know, playing on the theme and examining it and being
But not anymore, but I wish, but I still read them and I still glance at them. And since I work at a library, I see all the new books that come in and I'm always grabbing the picture books to see what's out there.
Yeah, so you work in a library. Tell us about that. You clearly love books, right?
I work at the Carpenter Carse Library in Hinesburg.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm the library director there. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, we're just surrounded by books, and we have a very vibrant story time. So please stop by if you're listening in the neighborhood on Tuesdays at 9:30. But, so just always been around books, I guess, and kids. And
And what about when you were a kid? What did you start reading when you were young? And
the picture book that sticks out for me is A Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats. I remember that one where Jack is just out playing in the snow on a snow day and playing with the stick and making footprints and putting the snowball in his pocket.
Yeah.
So that book really resonates with me still today. So
wow,
and I still read it. I'll read it at story times for kids.
I haven't thought about that one since I was a little girl. I mean, you just made me remember the snowball in the pocket. Like, I've read
that. And then he brings
that.
It in. Right.
Yes.
He brings it in, yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that. See, we're already going down memory lane
here. Yeah, I think
here.
We were talking a lot of things that we remembered back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about pop-up books? That was a special theme here. Was that something you guys really enjoyed?
Right. Yeah. It was just something we read, just the moving the little sliding parts and watching the tail go back and forth, or the opening the door and seeing Spot hiding in the doorway. Where's Spot hiding now? Oh, he's in the basket, and you lift up the lid to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Liked all of that.
Anybody listening out there, were you remembering some stories that you've read, right? I mean, there were so many subjects in here, the pop-up books and then the superheroes.
Exactly.
Did you guys spend some time on superheroes?
We did.
Huh?
We started reading about Batgirl and Wonder Woman and all the superhero girls, supergirl powers. And so we got into all of the, I guess, graphic novels, but comics of reading about that. And so, like I say in the story, we would wrestle and make forts and capes and, yeah.
Yeah, the acting out part. I love that you guys did that, you know, as a family. I mean, that really helps you explore the whole storyline.
Yeah,
and carry on.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know this, but my wife and I started a publishing company before I was even an author.
No. Wow.
So we've always liked books, and we started a publishing company back in 2014, and just started making books and learning the industry and learning how to make a picture book. And so the publishing company, Ripple Grove Press, got acquired in 2020 during COVID.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's still on. It's still uh-huh. But yeah, so we've just always been a fan of books.
Wow. And now you're free to maybe focus a little more on writing them.
Yeah, I'm a little free to focus more on this and the library.
And the library, which, you know, I could tell you work in a library because you had this interesting word. I had to write it down about the superheroes, the onomatopoeias.
The onomatopoeias?
Are those like the slam, pow?
Yeah, zonk.
Oh, zonk. That's a good one.
Swish. Yeah, onomatopoeias.
Fantastic. That's a new word. I love new words. And we love words here on Amy's Kids Show. That's great. Oh, and the tongue-twisting parts. You seemed really practiced.
That reminds me of the one book that sticks out when that page is Dr. Seuss's Hop on Pop.
Mm.
Or the other one, there's another Fox one. But there's one that I would try to read it. I deliberately would read it so fast, hoping not to make a mistake. Because if you know that one, it's just constant. And I would deliberately challenge myself to read it without slipping up.
It's tricky. I know, because I've read a little Dr. Seuss on the air, and I can tell you on my radio show, it is tricky.
Yeah.
Really tricky.
So next time you should just read it as fast as you can.
Is that how you do it? Oh, that's the trick, huh?
Yeah.
You just get your tongue like
you just
running
keep going.
So fast.
Yeah. You just get the momentum instead of reading it slow and not trying to mess up. Read it fast and see what happens.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was the hop on pop that sticks out. But there was another one with Fox.
Fox, yeah.
Something with a fox. I can't remember.
Ooh, anybody out there remember? I know. The fox rings a bell, too. Oh, we've made so many friends through these books over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were some of your...
And the Piggy and Elephant books by Mo Willems. I don't know if you're familiar with those. Those are amazing, and we read those over and over to our daughter. They are great, by the way, if anyone is interested. They are amazing, amazing... I guess you call them picture books, early readers for young ones. They're The Piggy and Elephant by Mo Willems. He has 25 of them.
Ah, Piggy and Elephant. Are they friends?
They are friends.
Oh, I love
They're brilliant. Uh-huh. They're really, really fun.
And funny, too. I love when they're funny.
Yes, very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the parents can laugh along.
Exactly. And the children learn to read. Mm-hmm. Reading these books, the way he writes the text and the way the text is, and they shout at each other and they laugh at each other, and it's really fun.
Oh, and that'd be fun to read out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, to take turns doing the parts.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. And so I also noticed that throughout the book, you have a couple of animal friends that look like they really do live with you. Not the whale on the last page. That does look a little bit like fantasy, although how
no,
cool.
No, we do not have a pet whale.
You don't have a pet? Not yet.
Not yet. But next time when you introduce me as an imaginary creature, I will.
You will. You'll be so-and-so. We'll think of something.
Yes.
With a pet whale.
Yes.
Yes, because your daughter's just loving it
in her bedroom. My daughter, unfortunately, has never asked for a pet whale. So maybe I don't know where we would keep it. Lake Champlain, maybe.
Right, and you got Echo Center right
there. Yeah, there we go.
Maybe they team up with you to watch them on weekends when you go on trips.
But we have two cats, or we had two cats when I wrote this. Now we have one cat, and we had a dog, and so now we only have one cat right now. But we're working on putting out feelers.
Oh.
But yes, so is that what you were going to ask me about, the cat in every page?
Yes.
And the dog in every page, yes.
And that is something I've noticed reading books with kids for so many years, that usually kids' books do. They have a recurring pet.
Because children like to stay, they're reading, they're seeing the story.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so turning the page and finding that bird or finding that one thing on each page is great. And Melissa did an amazing job like giving them personalities and putting them in some of the imagination scenes together and stuff too. So
Yeah, I wish folks listening, that's the problem with radio, right, is that you can't see it. And so I'd love for you guys to see the pictures in this book. And we're going to explain, you know, where you can find it if you'd like to. But also a cool thing about radio is because since you don't have the pictures provided, you have to use your imagination.
Exactly.
So all you folks out there.
That's how I started telling stories, just using my imagination. And yeah, just.
Oh, tell us about that.
Oh, well, I used to be a preschool teacher, so I would grab their attention more making up a story than reading them a book at that time, because 4.5-year-olds can't always sit still. But when I would tell them a made-up story made it seem like it was real, so I would tell them I was walking through the woods with my dog, that's real.
Uh-huh.
But then there was a hole in a tree. And I put my hand through the hole in the tree, and then I would leave them and say, I'll tell you the rest tomorrow. But then that led to me telling them what happened after I stuck my hand in the hole, you know, and I crawled through the tree and went down into the earth, and I would make up a lot of stories that way, so.
Wow. Oh, you've got me curious now,
right.
Too.
Well, I'll tell you after the show.
Yeah. We'll finish that. But preschoolers are so ripe for stories and imagination.
Especially that 4.5-year-old age. It's just like, I got you.
Yeah.
I get you.
And don't you feel, I mean, I feel like when I'm around them, I'm learning as much.
Yeah.
For sure, or more than they are for sure from them.
So it was just telling, like just... I guess, again, we would have circle time. So that circle time was the time I would just start making stuff up.
How cool. All of you listening out there, I don't know if you're in preschool, but if you are, you probably would like a teacher like Rob. Even if you're you're not in preschool. That would be so much fun. So we're going to take a little break in a minute, but when we come back, we have another story that you brought along. How many books have you written?
Well, I've written a lot of story, but I have about seven-ish books published.
Oh, congratulations.
Picture books. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So you've almost got your own library of your own books there.
A mini library.
Fantastic. So this is Rob Broder, and who we are talking to today. And where could folks find these books?
My website, robertbroder.com, and you can get any of the books wherever books are sold. So on the line, or you can go to Flying Pig Bookstore in Shelburne, if I can do a little shout out for them, or Phoenix Books in Burlington, wherever. Barnes & Noble, wherever you want to find your, wherever you buy a book, you can get it.
Ah, and then I also love just one more thing that in this picture book reading together, when you talk about, you know, we started collecting books, and you're walking out of a used bookstore, you know, with big stack and their signs for 50 cents and things. And that's how I started collecting books.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get a lot of kids.
Well,
books.
We started the publishing company, so we were always buying picture books to really analyze and study. And my wife and I would just talk about them after my daughter was asleep. We would like have conversations about the endings or the beginnings and how like wish this would have been different, or this, how much we loved this part of the book. So, yeah.
Ah, now that you're a published author, you get to make those calls.
Yeah, exactly.
How cool. Anybody out there want to write a book? This is inspiring, isn't it? Talking to a real author here on Amy's Kids Show. So we're going to take another little break. We've got another musical break from Jerry Garcia and David Grisman, who's like some of your favorite kids.
Yes, we would take road trips, and this was our favorite album to listen to. So I hope everyone enjoys these songs. I haven't heard them in years. But the Not For Kids Only by Jerry Garcia and David Grisman is a great kids album.
Yeah, and that's where I got these songs. So this next one is Ain't No Bugs On Me.
Oh.
And I noticed yesterday when I was outside, the bugs were starting to come out. So when I came back in and I was looking for a song by these guys and I found this one, I thought, we got to hear that.
Perfect.
It's perfect for bugs coming out season here in Vermont. But they weren't landing on me, so the song is appropriate here. All right, so folks, we're going to take a little musical break and come back for Crow and Snow with Rob Broder. Thanks for joining me.
There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. Dilla Junior bug comes in the month of June. The laughing bug comes in May. Bed bug comes just any old time, but ain't not going to stay. Oh, there ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on the rest of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. Some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me.
Get away, you horsefly.
Mosquito, he fly high. Mosquito, he fly low. On me, there may be bugs on the rest of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. A peanut sitting on the railroad track, his heart was all aflow. Along come a choo-choo on the track, to the peanut bug. On me, maybe bugs on some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me.
little bugs have littler bugs upon their backs to bite them. Littler bugs are still littler bugs, so ad infinitum.
Oh, there ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on the rest of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me.
As I went walking through the woods, humming a tune so gay, the wind come whistling through the trees and froze my ukulele.
Oh, there ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. Oh, there ain't no flies on me. There ain't no flies on me. There may be flies on some of you guys, but there ain't no flies on me. Oh, there ain't no lobsters on me. There ain't no lobsters on me. There may be lobsters on some of you mobsters, but there ain't no lobsters on me. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. It ain't gonna rain no more. How in the heck can I wash my neck if it ain't gonna rain no more? Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. Ain't gonna rain no more. How in the hell can the old folks tell if it ain't gonna rain no more? Oh, there ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me.
Well, hey, folks, listening out there. I don't know if you've got any bugs on you. We're making friends with the bugs here on Amy's Kids Show. We're making friends with everybody here on Amy's Kids Show. And we have a live author in the studio. Rob Broder is here to read a second story and talk about some other folks who make friends and things. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to read to you Crow and Snow. This is illustrated by Olivier Talek. And a few years ago, I opened up a journal and a scrap piece of paper fell out. I was jotting down a lot of ideas and notes back then. I still do today, but back then, and I don't really remember when I wrote it, but it said, a scarecrow says goodbye to a snowman every year. That's all it had. And I immediately wrote this story and then just submitted to the publisher and got a call back 5 days later. So,
wow.
So I'll read this one to you and then we could talk about it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay. Crow and Snow. One spring, a farmer built a scarecrow. Crow tried to say hello to the tractor as it passed. Hello, said Crow. Hello, said Crow. But the tractor never said hello back. In the middle of the summer, the sun would beat down. Perhaps it will rain today, thought Crow. Sometimes it did. Winter came. The corn was gone, and Crow didn't see much of the farmer. It was windy and gray. Crow just stood there. Then it started snowing. The farmer's children ran outside and rolled the snow into an enormous ball. They rolled another ball until they had built a snowman right next to Crow. Crow! And the snowman stood side by side. Crow wondered if he should say something. Hello, said Crow. Hello, said Snow. It's nice to have someone out in this field with me, said Crow. It certainly is a nice field, said Snow. Crow tried to think of something else to say. I like your scarf, said Crow. Thank you, said Snow. I like your hat. Will you be staying a while? Asked Crow. I'm not sure, said Snow. Maybe. And Crow and Snow stood side by side. The days became warmer. Are you leaving? Asked Crow. It seems that way, said Snow. Will you come back? Asked Crow. I'm not sure, said Snow. Maybe. Well, I certainly have enjoyed your company, said Crow. But Snow was already gone. All through the spring, Crow stood tall and alone in the field. The farmer plowed, planted, and watered. The tractor drove by without saying hello. Crow couldn't help thinking about Snow. Another harvest went by, and it started snowing. Why, hello, said Crow. Nice to see you again. Yes, indeed, said Snow. Nice to see you again. You look a bit different, said Crow. You look about the same, said Snow. And the two friends stood side by side. One bitterly cold day, a blizzard covered Crow and Snow in a blanket of white. I like it under here, said Crow. Me too, said Snow. It's like our own little home. Crow was happy. Until the days became warmer. Snow, said Crow. Yes, said Snow. I will miss you, said Snow. Said Crow. I will miss you too, said Snow. And he was gone. As the seasons passed, the tractor and the corn came and went, and children grew older. And every winter, Snow would return and stand next to Crow. One winter, it snowed so much, the children built a second snowman. Who is that? Asked Crow. I'm not sure, said Snow. It sure does feel crowded out here, said Crow. It certainly does, agreed Snow. The visitor did not stay long. And as the sun rose higher in the sky, neither did Snow. When Snow returns, thought Crow, I will tell him how I feel. But many years passed where the children didn't come out to play, so Crow never saw Snow. Then one winter, new children came and rolled the snow into an enormous ball. Welcome back, said Crow excitingly. It's good to be back, said Snow. I see you have a new hat. Yes, said Crow. The last one blew away. Well, I like it, said Snow. Crow wondered if he could say what he was feeling. One night, a strong wind came bursting across the field and knocked Crow over. You caught me, said Crow. It's the least I can do, said Snow. It was quiet. Snow, said Crow. Yes, said Snow. I love you, said Crow. I love you too, said Snow. Crow and Snow stood side by side. They were happy. The end.
Wow.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you, folks, for listening and sharing that story. Wow.
Thanks.
My eyes are watering. That was beautiful. Aww.
Thank you. I have parents have said that to me.
Yes. Oh, so. That's so sweet. And your pacing and timing with it is just beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Wow. Hello, said Crow, and the two friends stood side by side. You know, you've really picked up on the repetition of the, you know, saying the same phrases over and over. And those are really good phrases to live by.
Yeah. I think it's, I've maybe not thought this when I was writing it, but now I feel like it's saying goodbye to people in your life, whether they've just moved on or they have passed away. But it's, I didn't realize it maybe till now that that's kind of what it's about. Like, just have to say goodbye sometimes.
So, right. And without focusing on the goodbye, you know, but focusing on the important part is the being together.
Yeah. Yeah. And this, you know, it was implied that the next generation of kids, the Scarecrow had waited so long.
Mm-hmm.
He had waited a long time because the point is when he comes back, it's a new generation of kids that are making the snowman. So
maybe those kids grew up and had grandkids, you know, now there are grandkids in the family.
That's what was implied. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes, and the kids listening to Amy's Kids Show know that we are always talking about how important children are and how we're always in the right place at the right time. And even when we're, you know, maybe we think we're making a mess, we're actually making the world better, like making a snowman and not realizing the snowman is so important to the scarecrow.
Exactly, yeah.
And what that will lead to, a friendship and love.
Yeah.
Which is what it all leads to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Thank you for sharing
Thank you.
I have a new favorite book now. So that was Snow and Crow by Rob Broder. Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
Fantastic. So this is one of seven, you were saying, published books?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of the other ones?
I have Rabbit, Hare, and Bunny.
Rabbit, Hare, and Bunny.
Which I do have here. It's about three roommates, and two of them ask the other one to move out. They ask Bunny to move out because they don't really enjoy his ways. And when they start interviewing for a new roommate, they realize Bunny wasn't that bad.
Oh, that's great. That is such a good life lesson. I've lived that
right.
many times myself.
And so Bunny transitions to living back with his folks, and he is also just like, yeah, it's my funny. I call it my funny picture book because there's a lot of humor in it.
Oh, that sounds great.
Paul and His Ukulele. I have a book called Ripple Grove about fairies. Paul and His Ukulele is about a boy who gets, who is a fox, who gets a ukulele as a present and starts to play and goes on a journey.
Wow.
I'm drawing a blank. I wrote a book for Patagonia called Better Than New about how if you recycle fishing nets instead of getting them thrown in the ocean, they could be turned into clothing. Mm. So, yeah, you can check out my website.
Yeah, robertbroder.com. So kids out there, if you have a grown-up who knows how to work the internet, it's always good to have a grown-up with you when you're going online. And, yeah, maybe you'd like to check that out, robertbroder.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, see some of your books. And what else? You were also saying you play an instrument, right?
I play the ukulele, which I start. I play the guitar. I play a little bit of harmonica, and one day my wife said to me, you need to, you know, meet some people and get out of the house. And right down the street was a ukulele group. So I walked in and I was hooked.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I bought a ukulele and started playing.
Oh, they're such cheerful instruments.
Yes, they're so cheerful. They're really fun. And I would taught myself like some blues picking.
Mm-hmm.
So I just gravitated towards like the blues on ukulele.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
Yeah, some fun stuff.
Yeah.
And I've sat, so in Shelburne where I live and I work in Hinesburg, we have some very vibrant acoustic jams and I've gone a couple times. I wish I can go more, but yeah, they're fun to still play a bit.
Yeah, because instruments bring people together.
Yes.
Yeah. We had a whole episode about being in a band and learning an instrument and then coming together with others and playing.
So my picture book, Paul and His Ukulele, he loves his ukulele so much, but then one day on his journey, it breaks in half.
Oh, bummer.
And what occurs after that?
Don't spoil it.
So, and how he handles it and how he handles the change.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because change is something I think, you know, that books can really help kids understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it happens to all of us. There are changes. And it can be hard, like if a friend moves away. That's what the Snow and Crow story was reminding me of.
Exactly.
And kids are like, what happened? We were becoming friends, and now they're far away, and what do we do now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Wow, you really get kids and music and stuff.
I try.
Yeah. And your daughter, you said, is 13 now?
Yes.
What is she reading these days? Do you have any 13-year-old suggestions?
I can't think of actual titles, but she is reading chapter books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's reading what is assigned to her at school. But I have a vivid imagination of the cover she's reading right now. And if she's listening, she's probably laughing that I don't remember the title. But yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of really good chapter books out there.
Yes. Yeah.
For those older kids.
Yeah. I brought home a book called, I think, Jawbreakers the other day about braces. Cause she's getting braces and she felt did not want
a little too close
was like,
to
Dad.
Reality. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's hang out in the imaginary world when we're reading. I know. That's what I like about these stories you just read. You know, you sort of come at it from a little distance, you know, a safe distance, right. You know, but it's something we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that old scarecrow that gets, you know, more and more kind of tattered over the years, but they're out there forever.
Yes.
The ones in my neighborhood have been there a really long time.
Yep.
So imagine what they would say. Yeah, and who they'd get lonely. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes, they would. I would think so. That's why it came about.
From a scrap of paper.
Right. Yeah, they must get a new hat or a new flannel shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually the farmer has to notice they need something blows off.
Exactly.
Yeah. When did you start writing? Have you been writing since you were young? Or
I would say I started writing in my early 20s. I started jotting down ideas or silly things. And then in my late 20s, I was making up stories and writing stories. I submitted stories back then, and with no luck, I didn't have an agent. I pitched a game board to Hasbro. I flew out to meet with Hasbro Game Company to try to get them to pick up this game I designed.
Wow, you designed a game? Like a board game?
A board game where everyone wins.
Oh, cool.
So that was the theme, but it didn't get picked up. So I've always had some type of, like, just a little antsiness.
Creative project.
Something. And so that's when we came up with the picture book idea. So it was a very, very big creative outlet for me. And if my wife is listening, so I definitely have some type of ADHD. So I'm just constantly thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with the picture books. So even the books we were publishing, like, they became mine. Not mine personally, but I just wanted them to be the best they could be. So I was so focused on making them beautiful. Yeah. And that's all. I have another book coming out hopefully in 2025, titled The Flannel Shirt. So it's about the life of a shirt.
This gets better and better.
So yeah.
Oh wow, boy, that's a cliffhanger. The life of a shirt. Can you tell us anything about
it? The memories. How a shirt can hold there's stains on it and there's rips on it and the rips get sewn up together, and how you just love that shirt so much, and then you realize that the shirt has all this past with you.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah.
Oh, nice. That's so true. Fantastic. And I did have another question for you, too, that I was hoping to get around to, which was, what did you used to play when you were a kid and you were playing? Did you do, like, superhero playing and build forts and all the stuff you did with
your
daughter?
That's a great question. So I was not athletic. Uh-huh. I was not into sports. My brother would say, hey, you want to go kick the soccer ball on the driveway? And I'd be like, I could think of five other things I would rather do than do that.
Right.
I don't understand why, like, someone wants to throw a baseball back and forth with a glove. But, you know, you're a boy, you have to like sports. Mm-hmm. And I, back in the 70s, and I did not want to play sports. So to answer your question, I built, like, parking garages for my Matchbox cars out of shoeboxes. And I made maps with poster boards and streets, and I just wanted my Matchbox cars and Legos that was where I got lost. My Matchbox cars and Legos.
Oh, excellent. Kind of create a whole little world for
them to live
in. A whole
little world. That's all I wanted to do.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I used to do that with my brother. Yeah, we would, on the floor, we'd have the Matchbox cars, but we'd use the Oriental rug that my grandmother had because it looked like little paths and roads. And
I had checkered carpeting, and the checkers were roads the way it was patterned out.
Oh.
And I just drove the cars all the time. And so, but I just, you know, I sketched, I doodled, and I just enjoyed that more than sports.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. To each their own, right?
Right. Yeah, it is now.
Uh-huh. Is your brother still into sports?
No, I mean, he likes to watch sports and stuff, and I'm just like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Just people like different things.
Exactly.
It's so interesting.
But, you know, I reflect on it now, like, I mean, now this is like turning into a therapy session, but I went to a sports camp as a kid, and I spent my days in an arts and crafts shack like this big. I just wanted the arts and crafts shack and the nature shack at a sports camp. And so I felt very alone.
But it turned out to be the thing you
exactly.
were going to make a whole life out
but
of.
But I learn it now.
Yeah.
I'm all grown up.
Exactly. And they always say, you know, if you want to find out what you're going to maybe do when you grow up, what was it you loved to do when you were a kid, right? They kind of always bring it back to that. So all you kids listening out there, what is it that you love to do?
Exactly.
If that's sports, that's cool.
Right.
There are lots of folks who will...
Sports are cool.
...play with you and, yeah.
Yes.
And if you like books and crafts, and even if it's not what a boy or a girl is
supposed
to do...
If you like writing, keep writing. If you like doodling, keep doodling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like sports, keep sporting.
Yeah. And banjoing.
And banjoing, yep. Learn an instrument.
Yes. That's
yes.
really good advice.
Yeah. Please learn an instrument.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to play, right?
Yeah.
Once you learn those notes, you can kind of
exactly.
play them any way you want.
Yeah.
Kind of like words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So do you still not note down a bunch of ideas? Do you still have ideas you're working on?
Something comes to me, but it's not as... Yes, it still comes to me, but it was hyper-focused years ago.
Yeah, well, you have a superpower you were explaining.
Yeah,
yeah, that keeps you thinking all the time.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love people. Oh, fantastic. Well, we are just about out of time, Rob. Anything last that you want to say? We're going to play one more song and then
Great.
Come back for the ending.
No. My new book is Reading Together, mm-hmm. illustrated by Melissa Larson. And I'm just really happy to meet you.
I'm really
happy
to meet
you. And my website's robertbroder.com. And
yeah, and maybe we'll have you back with your instrument sometime.
Yeah, sounds good. I'd love it.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic, folks. You're listening to Amy's Kids Show. We've got just a little bit of music here to take us out. And thank you, Rob, for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
7 nights to write. 7 nights if you take a look. You see my face in a different book. 7 nights to read. 7 nights to write.
Monday,
I'm reading in my chair.
Tuesday,
I'm reading on the stairs.
Wednesday,
I'm reading in my bed.
Thursday,
I'm reading on my head.
Friday,
I'm reading in a canoe.
Saturday, Sunday,
any place will do. I got 7 nights to read. 7 nights to write. 7 nights if you take a look. See my face in a different book. 7 nights to read. 7 nights to write.
Monday,
I'm reading Red Balloon.
Tuesday,
I'm reading Goodnight Moon.
Wednesday,
I'm reading about the bar.
Thursday,
where the wild things are. I'm reading Winnie the Pooh.
Saturday, Sunday,
any book will do. I got 7 nights to read. 7 nights to write. 7 nights if you take a look. You see my face in a different book. 7 nights to read. 7 nights to write. My pen.
Tuesday,
I'm writing to a friend.
Wednesday,
I write a note to Dad.
Thursday,
I write a story to Sam.
Friday,
I write a song for you.
Saturday, Sunday,
anything will do. I got 7 nights to read.
7 nights to write.
7 nights if you take a look. You see my face in a different book.
7 nights to read.
7 nights to write. I've got
7 nights to read.
7 nights to write.
Hello, folks. We have done it. We came to the end of Amy's Kids Show, and I just finished up here with our guest, Rob Broder, who is just leaving. Bye, Rob. Thanks for coming. That's great. He was just here live in the studio with us, reading his stories, which are so beautiful. I think they're so beautiful, and the pictures are so gorgeous. So thank you, Rob, for coming in and sharing your books, Reading Together and Crow and Snow. Those were the two of the seven that he has published. And we were just talking just a moment ago that he's going to come back when his new book comes out about the flannel shirt. So that'll be maybe in about a year, something like that. It takes a long time, folks. I don't know if you're aware, but in order to think of the ideas and then write the book and then pitch it to the publisher, which means bring your idea to the folks who print the books and get them to like the idea too. Oh, hold on. Sorry, I took there you go. And pitch it to them as well. And then to wait for it to get printed, right? And put into all the bookstores. And then the fun part, which is what Rob's doing right now, is going around and telling people about it and reading it and going to libraries and reading it. And how lucky we are that Rob actually is a librarian as well. So he knows all about that. And a preschool teacher. That is so cool. So shout out to all of you folks out there who are teachers or students or authors, or maybe you're just thinking of a book you'd like to write, or maybe you like to read books, huh? Anybody out there like to read books? I know I was inspired to read even more books after reading these books by Rob. So thank you, Rob, for coming in. And it is springtime here in Vermont, and the trees are leaving out, and the bugs are coming out, and it's getting warmer, and I hope everybody's out there having a great time playing. Oh, and I just saw, you know what Rob just did for me before he left? I just saw him. He just signed my copy of his book. That's some of the fun, one of the fun things you can do if you have a book collection, is try to get signed copies. That means that the author autographs the book. They sign their name on it, and now he just autographed this book for me. I am so lucky to have an autographed copy. Thank you, Rob. I saw what you were doing. That is so cool. You remembered. Have a great time. Nice meeting you, too. Wow. See that, folks? How strangers can get to know each other, and now we're neighbors here in Vermont, and we can help each other out and have good times together. That's what the world is all about, sharing love and growing families and growing people like you out there listening, because you know what I think. You're the greatest. Have a great one, folks.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you away, you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you away. I'm bound away across the wide Missouri. This traitor loved an Indian maiden away. With notions his canoe was laden away. I'm bound away across the wide Missouri.